You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
All right, so we're into August, and, you know, a lot of people, when you say summer vacation, well, you may have already done that, but nothing wrong with getting equipped for next year, or many people still taking the time here as we head towards a long Labor Day weekend. And, you know, I think back to vacations, you know, we raised a bunch of kids, so that was a thing. Sometimes traveling with grandkids now, and help us walk through some of that. A look at travel without tantrums. Some new tricks for vacationing with the kids. We're joined by Dr. Dina Thayer, a Focus on the Family Marriage and Parenting Specialist. Dina, welcome back on to ABQ Connect.
Thanks for having me again. I'm glad to get to chat with you. You know, and the good thing is, travel with kids, even if you're planning something maybe at the holidays, maybe you've got something coming up, Thanksgiving, Christmas, this kind of work and thoughts are always applicable for parents. So even if your summer's wrapping up, if you're in the area, an area of the country where maybe school starts a little earlier, you can still have some of these tools in your toolbox for the next time you go on a trip with the littles.
Yeah, well, true that. And I think that, you know, kudos to my bride, my wife, who, when I think back to travel with the kids, she was proactive about trying to take care of some of this. But, you know, let's look back at some of those tried and true tricks for traveling with kids that, you know, we can and really should include in this toolbox for traveling.
Yes. So I know we're going to get a chance to talk about maybe what are some of the things people haven't thought about, but those things that you probably have thought through, but you should think through, or maybe even these are some of the things your wife did, Steve. A couple that I think of right off the bat is really attending to just those physiological needs. So if you know there's going to be a long flight or maybe a long road trip, thinking about and planning, where are the restroom stops or those rest areas? Where are we going to maybe stop to eat? Or if you're on a flight and your poor kiddos are stuck in a tube for hours and you don't get the luxury of just pulling over, have you thought about bringing those snacks and bringing their favorite lovey and things so that they can take a nap if they need to? We want to make sure we're taking care of physiological needs like hunger, tiredness, things like that, because that can really help mitigate, if not prevent, some of those meltdowns. If we're making sure everybody's needs are met, they're not thirsty or tired or hungry or what have you. So love that. Please keep that one in your toolbox. If you've already thought through, yeah, we want to have snacks on board and things like that, and plan our road trip, that's really wise. And then go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, you mentioned something as typical as, you know, the restroom breaks and the rest stops, to have those in mind and kind of planned on the trip. And, you know, I think some of what many of us don't even realize. So when it comes to the kiddos, when I think back to that, we still talk about, now I'm going to date myself a little bit here. You know, everyone stops at Buc-ee's nowadays as they travel, if they can find one, and they map out their trip based on that. But for us, it was Stuckey's. Back in the day, on either side of the highway, they were twin stores. There'd be one on either side of the highway, and we'd get off. Now I'm really going to date myself. My parents would hand us each a quarter, and go and find something. But we still talk about today the fact that, you know, me and my oldest brother, we'd run in and we'd find something really, you know, that ends up in the garbage. Mexican jumping beans or a small piece of candy or my middle brother, it was so funny because it was so middle brother-ish. By the end of the trip, he had a handful of quarters, you know, but the memories that are created, whether it's just a rest stop or a place where you might stop and get a treat. As part of planning to prevent tantrums, sometimes we're creating some fantastic memories.
Absolutely. And even though I haven't heard of Stuckey's, I love that it rhymes with Buc-ee's. That's fun. And And actually, I'm really glad you shared that because that's a segue into my other favorite tried and true tip that we've been thinking about for years, but is still so important. And that's how do you keep kids busy during that long travel time? And so the fact that your parents were thoughtful to let you go pick out, maybe a little toy or a game or whatever, those things are really good to think about. If you've got a long drive or a long flight, pulling out something new, even every hour and a half to 2 hours, can really go a long way. I took my kids to China when they were only 6 and 8, and it was worth that trip to the dollar store that I had brought some sticker books and some just little toys and activities. So every so often, when they were getting near that kind of, are we there yet? I'm bored again, I could pull something new out, but it hadn't cost me a lot. But it just
Yeah.
was something to keep them off screens. I will admit, flight to Beijing is long, even from Seattle, where we lived at the time. So I did say we're going to allow a movie, but I didn't want them just watching TV and movies the whole time. So parents who think through what are those activities? Can we listen to an audiobook in the car? Are there some little travel games? Could you do some of those fun would you rather questions? There's wisdom in thinking through how to pass that travel time. And so, along with meeting those physical needs, I'd say that's the other big one that's really tried and true to kind of stick with.
Yeah, I really appreciate that you brought up screens because as you were talking about stickers and creative things for the kids to do, I thought, yeah, sure, that sure is nice compared to just having their nose in a screen. However, I also thought, depending on the length of the trip, just to limit the amount of time on screens. And I know some other things that I think we did with our kids. Again, maybe I'm dating myself. I don't know if they still have Mad Libs, but it was an
They do.
opportunity. Yeah. These are things the whole car can take part in, or, you don't even need to buy anything. Anyone can play 21 questions, or there's all kinds of interactive things that parents can do with the kids, or the kids can do, amongst themselves to keep busy and keep their mind going, keep their eyes from getting bloodshot from those screens. But it is a great opportunity to really just have some fantastic family time while traveling. Now, these are proactive things that we can do to make some of the, tantrum type stuff or grumbly or what have you, maybe dissipate or not rear its head as often. So very proactive in doing positive things. Now there's, I'm sure, in the same way that many of us have those toolkits we run to here, we got to get all these things that we do to keep the kids busy and have fun on the trip. What about some, typical mistakes that we can all make when preparing for vacation with the kiddos?
I think the biggest mistake that I see, even when I'm coaching parents, is forgetting about the bookends. There's so much thought put into the trip itself, and maybe even the travel there, like we just talked about, but not the prep on the front end and how do we prepare our kids so it can be successful? And then how do we recover from the travel on the back end? Are you building in margin? Are you coming home on a Friday so you have the whole weekend to recover forever before everyone's running back into their routine? Are you thinking about, hey, maybe this year is the year where it's worth it to get TSA pre-check on the front end so that we have those shorter security lines with young kids who are going to lose patience with that? So that's kind of the biggest mistake I see is not thinking about the front and the back as much as we probably should.
Okay, now you touched on it a little bit. Any more depth in that in preparing lead up to the trip? When I think of it, if and I don't know if we did this or not, but I was like, what can I do with young people before a trip? Maybe talk about the trip that's planned. Often when you go on trips, I know even without the kids now, as I travel with my wife, sometimes we have plans and those plans fall through and that can be really disappointing. And maybe even preparing the kids for this is what we hope to do. Now, sometimes this or this might happen and we may not be, you know, may not be able to do that, but, you know, God willing, this is what we're doing. And if we can't do that, well, you know, just kind of mentally preparing them. I think of those tantrums when, you know, we were going to do this. You told us, right? You know, just walking through some of that. How important might that be?
Yes, super important. In fact, my top three front end tips. One, I did mention, think through those logistics. Does your car need a tune-up? Do you want to consider TSA pre-check? Are there logistics things you should take care of to prevent possible meltdowns? And I mean, on the part of the parents too, right? If we're getting frustrated, we want to be a good example to our kids. So we don't want to get to the point of a grown-up tantrum because something went sideways. So that's number one. But number two is that communication piece. Talk with your kids about what to expect. Talk with them about bringing, pack your patience, pack your flexibility. Something could go sideways. There could be a flight delay. Maybe one of the museums we were hoping to go to is closed. I mean, preparing them for those things, give them enough credit to share with them what to expect. That's number two. And three, if it's age appropriate, I really like to recommend that parents get some buy-in from their kids by having them participate in choosing some of the activities. So maybe you've already chosen the destination, but you let each child pick one thing they'd like to do in that city, whether it's the zoo or a museum or an amusement park. What I love about that too is, as Christians, we want to instill in our kids how to love each other well, how to defer to others. I mean, Philippians 2 talks about, you know, considering others' interests and not just your own. And so it's also beautiful for siblings to go and do an activity their brother or sister picked out and learn to be gracious in that way and know, hey, my turn's coming. Tomorrow we're going to the zoo and I chose that, or whatever it might be. I think it also gives them some ownership and some buy-in where they're going to be more excited about the trip because they had some say in it. So those are my top three faves on the front end.
Yeah, you know, part of what I was thinking about, you know, when you think about trips with kids, you think about, you know, destination places like amusement parks or something else. But, you know, one thing occurred to me in going out with my kids, and I was, as a grandparent, I've said to many friends who are heading into that, it's a second chance at doing it even better than you did it before. One of the things that I know I've done better with grandkids, you know, just when we take the afternoon to go an hour or two, away from the city and drop a hook in the water and catch fish. You know, I think as a parent, I grew really because I wanted to go fish. I wanted to catch a fish. And because I was untangling line or helping, you know, with whatever they were doing when I was fishing, I'd get frustrated. And, you know, when I prepared myself, and I'm trying to apply this to a trip to the amusement park or, you know, that we look at it as an opportunity to create beautiful memories for them. And in turn, you know, in spite of the fact we may feel like we're being sacrificial, you know, like you mentioned, letting them pick the things that they want to do. And when, you know, I would almost compare it to short-term missions, you know, where you feel like I'm going to go bless these people. And then in the process, you always end up getting blessed. And, yes. And when we think of these trips, maybe a day trip, an extended vacation, and our investment in the young people that we're with, creating memories, and you work to make their trip enjoyable. First of all, we're probably going to do away with some of the tantrums that we mentioned at the top of our conversation. Yes. But we're going to create not only great memories for them, but great memories for us. And we're going to just be more joy-filled when we're less us-centered.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. And that's a beautiful thing, because then you've got an actual life lesson. There's a beautiful character component to that. And it adds not only the fun and refreshment of a vacation, but also that you're building in those traits that you want to see in your kids just by real life, by letting them experience deferring to a sibling and doing something they enjoy. And you're right. I think us adults learn from that so much as well. And I would say to parents, make sure that when you offer that, it's something you're really okay with. For instance, the first time we took our kids to Hawaii, it was really important to us that they saw Pearl Harbor and saw the gravity of that history and things like that. So we picked some of those activities, but we purposely went for 5 nights and we have 5 kids. So every evening, a different kid got to pick where we went to dinner.
Oh,
And
nice.
it was just simple as that, but each of them felt some autonomy and agency in that way. Like, I'm choosing food I know I'm really going to enjoy, and I get to share it with my family. So there's lots of ways to do that, and parents can customize it so that they can still have the itinerary they're hoping for, but maybe offer your kids some choices in there if you can work that in.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you just joined us, we're visiting with Dr. Dina Thayer, focus on the family marriage and parenting specialist, on the topic of travel without tantrums, new tricks for vacationing with kids. And if you missed the first part of our conversation, make sure to find it in the archive at abqconnect, dot online, shortly after the show, certainly within 48 hours. And let's move on, Dina. We talked about preparing for the trip. We talked about things we can do on the trip. And there's so much more, I'm sure. But let's talk about coming down from the mountain and getting home, and moving from vacation gear to home gear and maybe even, back to school gear.
Yes. I really appreciate that we're getting to talk about these bookends because, as I said, they're what get missed the most often. So, since I shared my three favorite things for before the trip, I'm going to share my three favorites for after too. And again, the first one is think about the logistics. I think I mentioned just could you build in some margin by the day you come home by choosing that carefully? Can you build in a day or two to rest and recover? Or maybe if you've gone far away, like when I took my kids to China, a day or two to get back on the right time zone, because that can be hard for younger kids too, and their bedtime's all over the map. So thinking thoughtfully and being prayerful about could we come back on a Saturday if we have to get back to things on Monday so that we have that Sunday of nothing. I also think here again is a time to think about, hey, especially if you do travel internationally with your family, is it worth to do something like global entry, where you can just sail through customs super quick and not have exhausted kids who've just got off a long flight and now they're waiting in the super long immigration line. So being wise about what can a child's developmental frame handle after a long travel day like that and getting back home. So those are really good things to think about. Look at all the logistics of your travel through their lens. What I can do as an adult might not be what an 8-year-old can handle. So that's one. Number two, I would really, again, be positive with that communication, be proactive with it. Let them know, hey, we're going to have a couple days to recover, but then here's what I'm expecting. We are going to go back to doing our household chores. Or you know what? Back to school starts next Thursday. So after a couple days at home, we're going to need to go do our school supply shopping, just so they at least know what to expect. Don't feel that that rug is pulled out from under them. And then last, but perhaps most importantly, dear colleague of mine calls this survival mode. Be judicious about employing survival mode if you need to. And tell your kids, you know what? That first day we're back, we're all going to be exhausted. So it's okay if you want to stay in your jammies. And as parents, maybe you say, this is the night that we DoorDash and we don't try to figure out cooking dinner because there's nothing in the fridge because we've been gone. Or whatever survival mode, I'm doing little air quotes right now. Whatever that looks like for your family, give yourself the grace to recover from your trip. There's nothing worse than coming back and feeling like you need a vacation from your vacation. So be gentle with yourself and prepare your kids for that too. And maybe be a little lenient with some of those things like getting dressed or ordering takeout.
Yeah, a little bit off subject, but as people prepare for whether it's day trips, creating memories, here's a couple of things I'd encourage because so many of us are on social media and love to share on social media. When you're at those places and you're taking a picture of Mount Rushmore, somehow get you or the whole family in the picture, because you can go online and find a picture of Mount Rushmore. But what makes it special is a memory that you were there, and you can share that with others. The other thing I would encourage, because so many of us, again, using these pictures and stories on social media, wait until you get home to post those, because with so many bad things happening online, there's plenty of people nefariously that see you're not home. And it's just a great idea to save them for when you get home, so you can share your trip with others at that time. Again, a little bit off topic, because we're talking about, you know, preventing tantrums, but just a couple of vacation tips that you may want to employ before you head out. I also want to, Dina, direct people to some resources available. I know I went to focusonthefamily.com before our conversation, and I just typed in traveling with, and boom, it popped up with young kids. And there's some great resources there as well. Any more to add?
Yes, I love that you mentioned the website. And actually, I appreciate your tips, even though you thought they were off topic. I think there's some truth to that we want to post right away, and there could be some safety concerns. And also get in the photo, like make sure there's memories with your people. I just took my two adult kids to Norway in June, and it was wonderful. And we made sure to take lots of pictures of us too, not just what we saw. So super applicable. And yes, Focus on the Family has great resources. The website that I would particularly recommend is focusonthefamily.com/parenting. That's where you'll get a plethora of resources about parenting, traveling with your kids, avoiding summer learning loss if you don't want your kids to go backwards academically in the summer, you name it. Plus, we have a great new initiative called Age and Stage, where parents can just put in their child's birth month and year and get curated content delivered right to their inbox that deals with exactly what their child is going through and what they as parents can expect during that season. So focusonthefamily.com/parenting, lots of great stuff there.
Yeah, and on that note, resources from Focus on the Family, want to draw you to our website at klyt.fm. On the homepage in the Action Center, this month you'll find a guide as your kids go back to school. Would your child's school receive a passing grade? You find out what your child is being taught and how to be, well, dialed into that throughout the year. Another resource. We've been visiting with Dr. Dina Thayer, Focus on the Family Marriage and Parenting Specialist. As always, Dina, appreciate the conversation and look forward to having you back on again real soon.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thanks so much. And hopefully we'll get to do it again.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.